Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Racing Pod Blast with me, Tony Mack, and Ben Aitken from Narrowing the Field, and Charlie. Charlie's Ben's dog, by the way, has just joined him for this this pod blast. We're off to Sandown this weekend.
Don't think he's going to say much, though, so Tony. I think he might fart a few times, but
it makes more sense than me, especially with the football. Three races from Sandown from their Imperial Cup Saturday meeting coming under focus here on the pod blast, and then it's our usual trek up to Scotland for our ever popular, it says here, Trixie Battle, top, middle and bottom, but racing first as always, and to Sandown, starting with the big race of the day at Sandown at 2:25, the Imperial Cup, the Imperial Cup handicap hurdle, and over 2 miles. Ben, can you or Charlie start us off? Welcome along.
Hello, yeah, it'll be me. He's signed up. Imperial Cup, generally a race holds up well for race trends analysis. I've got a trio of race trends for listeners to factor into their own analysis. The last 15 winners of the race all met the following. All were aged 8 or younger, carried 11 stone 3 or less, and were turning off a break of 16 to 95 days. Using those as my basis, I am looking at a shortlist in the Imperial Cup of Bad, Georgie Girl, and Making Headway. Bad from the Ben Pauling yard, ran a huge race at Ascot last time out in a Class 2 handicap. Only been knotted on the line in a head bobber. Wore first-time cheek pieces that day. He was also running off a wind-up as well. They certainly seemed to spark him to life. Cheek pieces wisely kept on here. I don't think the £4 rise for his close defeat in that race will anchor him. I think he's likely some way below his handicap ceiling right now anyway. Also has the benefit of winning form on heavy and soft from his days racing in France. So plenty of positives for the 5-year-old Bad in this one, I would say. Georgie Girl comes here off the back of 2 wins. One of them, a 19-length victory over course and distance. Takes a bit of a leap in class here. All her previous runs have come at Class 4 level. But she's clearly a horse on the up. Does also look best going right-handed. She's 3 wins and 3 places from 6 starts right-handed compared to 0 from 2 going left-handed. So worthy of some consideration, Georgie Girl. And a third on my shortlist is Making Headway. Now, he doesn't quite take all the trend boxes, but he's not far off. And he has caught my eye a couple of times this season, especially when the ground has been testing. He's run well in a couple of graded novice hurdles this season. A couple of figures he's posted in those runs so far, they suggest his mark of 129 is likely well within range for him, Making Headway. And of that three, I think I'd probably be signing with Bad for Ben Pauling. He's the one that's at the head of my thinking. 11-2, 6-1 looks, it's a decent price given his run last time out. So Bad for me in the Imperial Cup. Tony, what have you got?
Yeah, good stuff. I was on Bad last time, I think, when he got nutted on the line. Yeah. Absolutely horrendous. And, of course, the stable have remained in excellent form, haven't they, the Ben Pauling yard? Mm. I'm with you with Georgie Girl, mate, and hopefully it'll run a big race, Georgie Girl, at a decent price as well. I've got Jipcot, Junkanoo and Goon Hilly on my initial shortlist of 5, if listeners want to check those out. But I'm come down to 2 that I'll be playing. Georgie Girl has won the last 2 starts at Kempton, latest start off a £5 low mark, and that was after a win over Course and Distance at the end of January. Stable going well with a 43% winning place strike rate since the beginning of the month. 4 seconds and a winner from 7 facing the starters, so still in good form. Philip Hobbs and Johnson, whatever his name is, can't remember now. Philip Hobbs, anyway, still. And then shared good signals from the Instant Expert facility on ggs.co.uk for shared. Won on heavy ground at Chepstow in October last year off a £4 lower mark. That contest was a Class 2 event, and the 5-year-old runs in a Class two event here, although obviously a stronger contest being the Imperial Cup. Harry Derm's still going well with a 42% win and place strike rate. Hopefully those two will run well, Shed and Georgia Girl. Georgia Girl, very interesting at 14-1. On we move to the 3:35 at Sandown, the Serial Winners Novice Handicap Chase. Ben, can you find us a winner here?
Hopefully. This was the race that was moved from the Channel Festival a couple of seasons back. It was the race that the likes of A Plutard and Hunt Ball won. This is the fourth Sandown renewal of the race. Looks competitive, I think, this year. It's got four last-time-out winners. The others have finished second last-time-out. So it looks like a decent race. Not easy to drop a shortlist, I didn't think, but I settled on the Gary Moore pair of Cut Mask and Invincible Now. One of the reasons that pair caught my eye was the record of Gary Moore horses aged 5 or 6 in Sandown novice handicap chases, especially those returning off a break of 14 to 42 days. With those types of runners, Gary Moore is 9 winners and a placed runner from 17 qualifiers. It's a 53% win strike rate, almost 35 points profit. Its last three qualifiers on the angle all won. The last of them was Cot Mask, who runs here, obviously. Since that win, Cot Mask has been to Plumpton. He picked off a viable Class 3 pot, taking his chase record to 3 wins from 6. Comes here a horse very much on the up. He was a good winner over these fences back in January. That came just a trip just short of 2 miles. I'm sure he's got a stamina for his longer trip with that win at Plumpton last time out. Also gets as much needed cut underfoot here. He wants at least good to soft to show his best. So Cot Mask, definitely a player in this, I think, for sure. And stablemate Invincible Now also comes here off the last time out win. He won by a commanding 14 lengths at Fakenham on his last start. Attacked defences really well that day, I thought. That was his first career victory. It's also the first time he ran without his usual hood. Now, you'll need to step on to win this, but I think that's more impossible, especially if that hood has been hindering him rather than helping him. And he also looks, I also think he looks a player for Gary Moore in this one now. I don't fancy splitting the pair, so I'd probably be happy enough to back both Cot Mask and Invincible Now to let them fight out between themselves. So Cot Mask and Invincible Now for me in the 3:35. Tony, what do you have?
I've got Golden Sun here for Paul Nichols and Harry Cobden. I think it's currently at the top of the market, off the market the fourth time of asking when landing the spoils in a Class 2 contest at Kempton in February. Not fancied that day, by the way. We need to note that. We were sent off at odds of 10-1, beating 5 rivals and Pepe Le Morco, the 11-8 favourite, who finished last of the 5 finishes, stinking the whole place out as well as a result. That was on soft ground, and the Martelline gelding was in first-time cheek pieces, and they stay on here for with Paul Nichols and Harry Cobden, of course, going for the championship. And Teresita for trainer Lucy Wadham. Gavin Sheehan takes the ride here. Won on soft ground at Ludlow in February for trainer Lucy Wadham, with Harry Cobden in the play. It's no Cobden here, of course, but the soft ground and a win over a similar trip are his positives tomorrow. In fact, mygg's.co.uk instant expert tool tells me that Teresita has finished second of 5 on soft ground, as well as winning at Ludlow as well. He's an improving sort, Teresita, and can go on well with Gavin Sheehan taking the ride, and hopefully at an each-way price if he stays around the 6-1 mark. On to the 4:10 at Sandown, Betfair Exchange Handicap Chase, Class 3 handicap over 3 miles. Ben, can you find us a winner here? I think we're in we're full agreement here on this, aren't we?
I think we are, yeah. I've got three in this one that catch my eye. Rose of Arcadia, our old pal, Switch Hitler, and Bangers in Cash. Rose of Arcadia finished second at Grand Military Gold Cup last time out, over roughly the same course and distance. And that race has actually worked out really well on future form front. 6 have run since, 2 have won, 3 others placed. The only one that didn't at least place fell 2 out when still roughly in the mix. So very recent form of Rose of Arcadia does hold up well enough. She also handles testing ground. has placed off Mark slightly higher than the one she runs off here. So I can definitely see Rose of Arcadia going well. Switch Hitter almost has the prime conditions to attack in this. I have his prime conditions as right-handed tracks, single-figure fields, and November to March. It's four wins from seven under those conditions. Never been out of the first three under his prime conditions. This is a 10-runner field here, so he's only just out on that particular parameter, but easy enough to give him a pass on that score. Takes a dip in class here from his last run. The last run was a class one. This is a class three. I think that's a definite positive for him, because I don't think he's quite a class one type. Ground, possibly a bit of a query here. He probably wants a bit better than what he'll get, but it's a dry forecast, so I don't think it's going to get any worse. And he could make his presence felt down class, Switch Hitter. And then we've got Bangers and Cash. He's one I was really keen on last time out in the Masters Handicap over course and distance. He ran well up to a point, but I wonder if the drying ground that day maybe just stopped him fully letting himself down in closing stages. It was good ground that day. All his wins and place efforts are coming good to softer. So the wind up since that run. His wind could obviously also have been the reason for his weak finish that day, so probably well worth him tinkering with the wind between then and now. He's been dropped a pound for that run, and he's also dropping in class from class two to class three level, which is a positive. All four of his wins have come at class three level and below. Add in the fact he meets with prime conditions here, which I have as 2 miles seven or further, a break of 42 days or less, and good to softer, where he has four wins and two placed efforts from seven starts. That improves to four wins from four when you look at him under those prime conditions on right-handed tracks. It simply becomes a very, very hard horse for me to ignore in this. And Myers and Cash is the one that interests me the most for this 4.10 race. No price is up yet at time of recording, but hope he's going to be around the 4.01 sort of mark. Fingers crossed. So Bangers and Cash for me. Tony, what have you got for us?
I have, I'm top of the market. I've got the same three, to be honest with you, mate, on the short list. I've got Switch Hitter, a win in two place efforts from three starts in class three company. And my ggs.co.uk instant expert capability tells me that Switch Hitter has two place efforts over a similar trip and over the larger obstacles as well. Two place efforts. But I will be playing, I won't be playing Switch Hitter, but he is on the on my short list. Rose of Arcadia, placed on soft ground, as he said, Ben, as well as claiming prize money in a Class 3 contest. Not out of the first three on his last three starts. Consistent nine-year-old can go well again for trainer Joe Tizard. And Bangers and Cash with you. Three victories at Exeter in November 2022 before a win at Market Raisin a month later before a win in March last year at Taunton in Class 3 contest. This is his level, and the eight-year-old is back on his last winning mark as well. First run since a wind-up, it must be said, but I'm very much in the Bangers and Cash corner. Rose of Arcadia I'll be playing as well, and maybe having a look. If he goes a little bit too big in the bet, I may have a small each way on Switch Hitter in the 4.10 at Sandown, the Betfair Exchange Handicap Chase, Class 3 Handicap over 3 miles tomorrow at Sandown. Right now, it's football time.
Oh, golly, what a buy! The great thing about loving football is you cannot explain why you love it. It just happens. Chasing a ball round a park, wanting one team to win against the other.
El Mahoney, Lightfoot, Whipshot. Oh, jeezy peeps, man.
That'll be me at Cheltenham next week. Yes, the bit of a pod you've all been waiting for, top, middle and bottom. But before this week's selections, Ben, an update on the current state of what I owe everyone.
last week's results, no winners for me, back down to earth, minus 4 points. Tony, two winners and a return of plus 0.3. you were actually one goal away from
again.
It being 18, you would have been 18 points profit. I think you had Air G Queen Spark, whoever you were on, were 1-0 up. they let in a goal, and it went from 18 points to potential profit to plus 0.3. But but it's giving you a nice round current total.
Oh, yeah.
The current state of play is me plus 19.32, Tony minus 40. So, you know, that helped you get a nice round total. But this week, normal three leagues for us, and if any of us are brave enough, we can choose one of the Scottish Cup games, including the car crash that is Neil Warnock's Aberdeen, who face Kilmarnock. And my top, middle, and bottom this week, top, Kilmarnock to beat Aberdeen at 47-25. I'm going to go for it. I'm taking Killy. He keeps stacking on the pressure on old boy Warnock. Aberdeen's only won in the last 11, came in the last round of the Cup against Bonnyrigg Rose. They were hardly convincing that day. Since Warnock took charge, Aberdeen have played 6 league games. They've lost 4. They've drawn another 2. They've scored 7, but have conceded 14. They're just a mess right now. He's destroying Aberdeen. It's a fact. Kilmarnock have already beaten Aberdeen 3 times this season without conceding a goal. And I'm just very surprised Killy are not favourites for this match. So Kilmarnock, for me, in the top. Middle, Montrose to beat Cove Rangers at 5-2. Montrose have hit a real purple patch in recent weeks. Their only defeat in the last 5 games was Falkirk. They've also been banging in the goals. 17 in our last 7. Cove Rangers have been struggling to string together a solid run all season. I feel they're always worth taking on, so I'm going to take Montrose to continue with their recent form with a win here at Cove Rangers in what's a little bit of a local derby sort of match. And bottom, Elgin City to beat Bonnyrigg Rose at 29-20. Despite still sitting second bottom of the league, Elgin have shored things up since the turn of the year, and it's their home form is keeping their heads above water. They've won 7 of their 13 home matches. They've only lost 3 all season at Boro Briggs. Bonnyrigg have been in a bit of free fall recently. Away from home, they've only managed to win 1 of their last 10 matches. They conceded 17 goals in the process. They've also only managed to win 1 of their last 10 matches all told. Elgin have won 2 of their 3 home ties against Bonnyrigg, and hopefully Bonnyrigg will have another fruitless 400 mile round trip up to Elgin. What a waste of time. Don't want to be going up to Elgin 400 miles and coming away with nothing, but I'm hoping it's going to happen. And that gives me a top, middle, and bottom of top Kilmarnock in the Scottish Cup, middle Montrose, and bottom Elgin City. Tony, what do you have?
Kilmarnock. That Kilmarnock price is mental.
I don't get it.
47-25. And they beat them twice without conceding.
No, they beat them 3 times.
3 times.
Yeah, Aberdeen are a mess.
That's got a bit of a Dumbarton ring to it, hasn't it?
Warnock is... I'm an Aberdeen fan, but it's actually funny now.
Yeah.
It's so bad. It's funny.
Do you think he's been cocky and just gone in and gone, I'll be able to rescue this. It's only Scottish football.
He completely hit the nail right on the head. I totally think that's what he's done.
Yeah.
I think he's always said he's always wanted a job in Scotland. He thought, that'll be easy. And it's like, you've not looked at the mess Aberdeen were in before you came up, mate, have you?
Well,
yes.
Reaps what he sows. My lot, yeah. Queen's Park at home to Partick. That's around 2-1. My middle is Annan at home to Queen of the South at 15-8. And my reasoning behind these, by the way, I think I spent February trying to reason to everyone and that didn't work. Basically, Queen's Park home record is better than Partick's away record, and that's how I'm doing it. So Queen's Park at home to Partick, middle is Annan at home to Queen of the South. Again, Annan's home record is better than Queen of the South's away record. It might work, you never know.
It might work, keep it simple.
Bottom is the shorty, always throwing a shorty in, Peterhead at home to Stranraer at 7-10. All right, thanks very much, everyone. Many thanks for listening to this edition of the Racing Pod Blast. Very best of luck with your betting at Sandown, and even more luck next week with your betting at the Cheltenham Festival. Remember, if you're an early riser, I'm not doing it next week, so you can't, but you can catch more from Ben over on narrowingthefield.co.uk, and plenty of free guides for Cheltenham there from Ben. Big thanks for listening this week. Have a great weekend. Thanks to Ben and Charlie.
No, Charlie's ignoring you.
Oh, so, has he got, okay.
Thanks for me.
Thanks very much, everyone. Bye.